Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya 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 Prabhupada, Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Govinda Shyama Kundarada Kadi Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Samavata Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Go Premanandi All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Ganga, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Om Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bhastabhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste, Sarasota Deva Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Pashachadesha Tarane, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudhi Gaurabhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare from Srimad Bhavan Canto 10, chapter 14, verse 40. Shri Krishna Vrishni Kula Pushkara Josha Dain Shama Nirjara Dvija Pasudadi Riddhi Karin Udharma Sarvara Harakshiti Rakshasadrug Akalpam Arkam Arhan Bhagavan Namaste
Bye.
Shri Krishna, O Lord Krishna, Vrishnikula of the Yadu dynasty, Pushkara to the lotus, Josha, pleasure, the dying, O you who bestow, Shma of the earth, Nirjara, demigods, Dvija, Brahmanans, Pashu, and of the animals, Udadi, of the great oceans, Vridi, increase, Karin, O you who are the cause, Uddharma, of atheistic principles, Sharvara, of the darkness, Hara, O dispeller, Kshiti, upon the earth, Rakshasa, of the demons, Druk, the opponent, Kalpam, until the end of the universe, Aarkam, as long as the sun shines, Arhan, O supremely worshipable deity, Bhagavan, O supreme personality of Godhead, Namah, I offer my respectful obeisances. Hey, unto you. Translation, my dear Sri Krishna, you bestow happiness upon the lotus-like Vishnu dynasty and expand the great oceans consisting of the earth, the demigods, brahmanas, and the cows. You dispel the dense darkness of irreligion and oppose the demons who appeared on the earth. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, as long as this universe exists and as long as the sun shines, I will offer my obeisances unto you. Report, according to Srila Sanatana Goswami, Lord Brahma is here engaged in the ecstasy of Nam Sankirtan, glorifying the various holy names of Lord Krishna that indicate his variegated pastimes. Lord Krishna expertly suppressed the demonic population of the earth, which became unbearable with the advent of demoniac politicians like Kamsa, Jarasandha, and Shishupala. Similarly, in modern society, there's so many so-called God-fearing people who are actually attracted to demoniac existence. Such persons become enlivened with the setting of the sun and go out in the darkness to enjoy life in restaurants, nightclubs, discotheques, hotels, and so on, which are simply meant for illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. Then there are those who openly defy God and his laws, declaring themselves atheists and demons. Both the covert and overt enemies of the Lord constitute an unholy burden for the earth, and Lord Krishna descends to expertly remove this burden. Here, Lord Brahma indirectly states that Lord Krishna should remove Brahma's own subtle atheism, which has led him to try to exert illusory power over Lord Krishna. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Lord Brahma, in his shame, felt himself to be like a Brahma Rakshasa from Satyaloka. He had come to earth to disturb Lord Krishna and his intimate friends and calves. Brahma is lamenting that although Lord Krishna is most exalted, the Lord of all Lords, because he had appeared before Brahma in such a simple and innocent feature, decorated with the stick, conch shell, ornaments, red clay, and peacock feather, and so on, and sporting with his cowherd friends, Brahma dared to challenge him. Concerning Brahma's prayers, of which this verse is the conclusion, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur states, may these prayers of Lord Brahma, which take away all doubts and broadcast all the definitive conclusion of devotional service, become the expert craftsmanship of the foundation of my consciousness. So here is the an address to the Lord. He offers his respects, but most of the verse is actually calling out to the Lord. Just as in Nam Sankirtan, we have names of the Lord, Krishna, Hare, and Rama. So these are not statements, they're just calling out the Lord. So the only possible way it can make sense is it's calling out, that is Sambodhana, an address, O Krishna. And of course, we could supply so many other statements after that. Please do this, or please help me in devotional service, or whatever. But that is not explicitly stated. So, nama or kirtan, nama kirtan is simply calling out the names of the Lord. And there could be many names besides Hare and Krishna and Rama. So here we have also a series of names in the Sambodhana form, calling out to the Lord. So he calls out, O Krishna, Sri Krishna. And then he calls out other names, but these names are rather long because it's a combination's compound, a name which is a compound of other words. So, in other words, he gives happiness to the Rishni dynasty, or he increases the earth and the Brahmins and cows, etc., the ocean of the, he causes an ocean of increase of all these different persons. So they are names of the Lord addressed in this Sambodhana form, calling out to the Lord. So that is why Sanatana Goswami says this is Nam Kirtan, Nam Sankirtan. It is simply the names of the Lord without any statement made. So previously, of course, we had statements made. Brahma offers his prayers, his verses, and there he describes in quite a lot of detail all about the Supreme Lord. That is also kirtan. It's a glorification also. We can say it's a guna kirtan, glorification of Krishna's qualities. And the particular form it takes is making statements about the Lord. Nama kirtan can also describe the form and qualities of the Lord, but there's no statement. It is simply calling out. But of course, very cleverly in calling out, one can describe the Lord. So here he does describe the Lord by making these compounds of he is the nourisher of that gives happiness to the Vishnu dynasty, or he increases the ocean of the Brahmins and cows and the earth, etc. So, though he does have, this is a Nam Kirtan, so to speak, he does describe the Lord in some detail. In this case, it is Krishna. So he's describing the qualities of Krishna. So he begins with the comprehensive name, Sri Krishna, which means all-attractive. So this is the principal name of Krishna among all the different names of Krishna, such as Giri Govardhana Dari or Radha Madhava or whatever. Krishna is the main name. Then it's the most often used name. And it includes all of the other names within it because it describes his feature being all attractive in all ways. So all of his pastimes, all of his qualities, all of his forms are attractive. This is, we can say, the conclusion actually by saying Sri Krishna is actually the conclusion of everything. But then he expands upon that and he indicates how he gives pleasure to the lotus of the Rishni Kula. Now, of course, why talk about the Rishnis since they're not even there? They're in Mathura. So the Rishnis can also refer to the people of Vrindavan. So there's an elaborate explanation given of how the two families are related, and they're also Nanda Maharaj's dynasty is also part of the Rishni dynasty, so it includes both. So it can also mean the dynasty of Nanda Maharaj. And it's compared to a lotus. So in poetry, and of course factually also, the lotus blossoms in the daytime. When the sun rises, then the lotus opens up. When the sun goes down, the lotus closes. So he gives joy to the lotus of the Rishni Kula. Means ultimately he is like the sun in relation to the lotus. So he makes them blossom. And blossoming indicates, of course, great joy and full manifestation of all wonderful qualities, etc. So, in the presence of Krishna, all of the people of Vrindavan exhibit great bliss and exhibit all wonderful qualities that would otherwise would not be manifest. So, he is more or less, we can say, the life of all the people of Vrindavan. So that's the other meaning besides saying is this the lotus of the Vrishni dynasty. Of course, it also applies to the people of Mathura and Dwarka. The Vrishnis also derive their life from Krishna. He is their master, he is their life as well. And they exist only because he is present. But primarily here we're speaking of the people of Vrindavan. So it is Krishna who gives life to all these different persons here. And he causes increase in the ocean of cows and dvijas, etc., earth, demigods, etc. So the ocean is said to increase because of the moon. So Krishna is also compared to the moon. The moon causes increase of the ocean. We know, of course, that the oceans are affected by the tides. You know, they have tides, and the tides are because of the moon. So when the moon becomes full, then we have big tides, etc. So this is the idea here, that Krishna is like the moon, and everyone else, the devotees, are like the ocean. And when Krishna appears, then they increase, and they become very joyful. The same example is given for Lord Chaitanya, that when Lord Chaitanya appears, he increases the ocean of bliss of all the different devotees, because he is like the moon. Two examples are given to show how Krishna affects everyone, his intimate associates and all others who have contact with them in some way or other, such as the earth or the devatas, etc., brahmanas and cows, etc. So everybody gets advantage from the appearance of Krishna. And he takes away, he removes the influence of the demons, who are here called darkness, the darkness of irreligious principles. So both the sun and the moon do that. The moon takes away the darkness at night, sun takes away the darkness during the daytime. So you can say that sun and moon images apply in both cases. He takes away the darkness of a dharma or irreligion. He does that, of course, by killing the demons, which is the next phrase, Chitti Rakshasa Druk. He kills all the demons on earth. And in this way, he removes that darkness. So this indicates that he directly involves himself and uses his weapons and his arms, etc., and his skill to annihilate all the demons on the earth. This, of course, is, we could say, the secondary aspect of the Lord's appearance in the world. His main purpose is to give joy to the devotees, which is expressed in the first two lines. And then the secondary principle is for the people in general. He restores dharma because adharma is present. And to do that, he has to kill all the demons. So he does that as well. And this was the reason why the devatas approached Brahma, and Brahma approached Vishnu, so to remove the burden of the earth. So that's the external reason for Krishna's appearance. Brahma is aware of both things. The esoteric reason, that is, giving joy to all the different devotees in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, and also the external reason, that is, destroying demons and restoring dharma to protect the earth. In this way, he, of course, the first function of protecting the earth, etc., and restoring dharma, that is understandable. That's the normal reason, and that is one that mentions in Bhagavad Gita. He comes and restores dharma when dharma is not operating properly, etc. But the esoteric reason that's not stated all the time, as in Bhagavad Gita, not stated directly. Huh? But here we find that Brahma has come to that realization. He has a very great realization of the nature of Krishna. His primary quality is bliss. And he gives that bliss to all of his devotees here in Vrindavan and other places, and to the people in general. Therefore, the Brahma here has some realization of the real nature of Krishna. He offers his respects to the Krishna by calling him Bhagavan. So Bhagavan, of course, means it can be used for jivas as well. We see there also, or even devatas or something else called Bhagavan, but primarily this refers to the Supreme Lord. But then we also have Bhagavan referring to Swayam Bhagavan, that is the special form of Bhagavan who is Krishna. So therefore, the meaning is ultimately one who possesses all bhaga, or all wonderful qualities. So Krishna is that person who possesses all of these wonderful qualities. He manifests them more than other forms of the Lord, like Vishnu. And that was realized by Brahma through this incident. He realized how Krishna had superior qualities manifested than the Vishnu forms. So therefore, when he calls out to Bhagavan, he's calling out to Swayam Bhagavan, that he is the original Bhagavan, or the source of all the other features of all the other Bhagavans, plus extra features as well. He says he is most worshipable, or arha, for as long as the sun shines and as long as the kalpas exist. So for the whole of Brahma's life, in other words, Brahma intends to worship him and respect him properly. So, of course, already he has worshipped Krishna. He respects Krishna, etc. But through this pastime, he now has greater realization of the nature of Krishna. So therefore, his respect has become much, much greater due to the mercy of Krishna by showing him all these wonderful forms that he had merged in himself, etc. So he is not just worshipable, but he is more than ever worshipable by Brahma for all of his existence as a devata, as the creator of the material realm. Here he and he ends by simply offering his respects to him. The prayers were stated, and now he ends with kirtan, which is a simpler form of glorification. Through reciting verses, one needs grammatical explanation and knowledge, etc., to understand and to even compose the verses properly. You need proper understanding of grammar and meaning of words, etc., to put everything together properly. And, of course, meter and so many other things are necessary. So it requires some skill to do that. On the other hand, Naam Kirtan is simpler. No, you don't need any grammar. All we have to know is the name of the Lord. And then we pronounce that name of the Lord. So it's a much easier process, and that's why it's generally recommended as the simplest way of worshiping the Lord, because it requires no grammatical knowledge or anything. We simply call out to the Supreme Lord. In either case, both of these forms are meant as a glorification with favorable attitude. Obviously, if we're going to glorify, we should have sincerity in our glorification.
we should accept the position, and according to that we describe the Lord, and we praise Him. So a favorable attitude is implicit in kirtan, that we're doing it because we appreciate the Lord for His wonderful nature. So he concludes with simply the names of the Lord. Instead of another verse, he concludes with names. So this is also significant because it indicates that the name is complete in itself. That Nam Sankirtan is equal to more complicated praises of the Supreme Lord. It is not inferior simply because it's simpler. It's as powerful or more powerful. So a conclusion usually states the or an ending statement, a statement at the end will bring a conclusion that summarizes everything. Just as a beginning statement will introduce the subject by stating the main subject. And then at the end we'll have a repetition again with the conclusion that sums up everything and makes the main point again. And in between we have many expansions of the topic. So Brahma also has done this. He begins and then he ends with a suitable statement. But here the suitable statement also is kirtan. Nam Kirtan. He is simply uttering the names of the Supreme Lord. He also indicates by that that Nam Sankirtan is, we can say, the summary of everything in terms of sadhana, etc. He's offering his respects, etc., but then he utters the names of the Lord in Nam Sankirtan. This is, we say, sufficient for him to express his devotion to the Supreme Lord. And it's the summary of everything. So he indicates that Nam Sankirtan also is the supreme process because it comes at the end here. So in this way, Brahma has a great realization of the real nature of Krishna through this incident. So this is the mercy of Supreme Lord. Krishna did not become angry with him, but rather he wanted to give him a realization. And he did in such a way that Brahma could actually understand the nature of Krishna by displaying those different forms, etc. So this is the nature of Krishna that he has, by his cleverness, he's able to give knowledge to a person and elevate them nicely. And of course he did that with showing his achintya shakti, his inconceivable energy of expanding himself into so many forms, and then showing all the Vishnu forms, etc. All this is because of the achintya shakti of Krishna. Yeah, well, if we look in Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually, he doesn't even mention Hare Krishna at all. He's got other names, Gopal, Govinda, etc. These names can be chanted, and we see in Lord Chaitanya's time, they chanted all these different names. In Kirtan, they would chant Govinda, Rama, etc., like that. So, yeah, they all can be chanted. But, of course, we also have Hare Krishna is our main sadhana, but the other names are also there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also written some verses which are only names as well. He calls it Nam Kirtan verses, and he has a series of names. Well, that's an instruction, more or less. Say Hari, say it, chant the name of the Lord, that's what it means. So that's not nama as such, it is an instruction to chant the name. Yeah, he's encouraged them to chant the holy name, because the name itself is complete. Yeah. Huh? Bola, bola, same thing.
Maharaj, this is Siddhanta, Brahma gave him prohibited, like Brahma was given a prediction that he would not be prohibited in a lifetime. Was this prediction given at the first day of Brahma or first day of the Brahma?
Yeah. Well, as is said in the Brahma Sutras, all names are the names of the Lord. So even the names of the devatas are actually primarily names of Supreme Lord. So Indra is actually a name of Krishna. Or Brahma is the name of Krishna. Or Shiva is the name of Krishna. Because if we look at the meaning, ultimately the meaning of that ultimately goes back to Krishna. He is the leader. He is the most auspicious, etc. Or Agni means the leader also, so he is the leader. They describe qualities, and all these qualities primarily reside in Krishna. So therefore, even the word Bhagavan, ultimately we can lead it back to Krishna, or even Ishvara, or any of the general names. We can say the ultimate Ishvara, the ultimate Bhagavan is Krishna.
Another thing, you know, sometimes you are explained that after committing offense, you know, the Brahma, the Krishna didn't give him any punishment. Krishna didn't give him any punishment. But some say that, you know, Krishna gave him punishment, he came as a Haridas. Like this, some say. I'm not sure this is.
I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur maybe indicates that. Though we look in the Gauranodesh Deepika, Haridas was actually not Brahma as such. Huh? He was a Brahmana who was called Brahma Haridas, who committed an offense, and therefore he was born as a Mlecha or whatever like that.
Is there any history that that Brahmana Haridas, that who was he in a Krishna Lila pastime, something like that?
No, he was a person after that time, apparently. Not in Krishna's pastimes.
Maharaj, like, why only Krishna is called Swayam Bhagavan, not the other Vishnu Tattvas? I mean, given the fact that all Bhagavan forms are eternal, and even a Jiva is eternal.
Yeah, well, to distinguish the fact that we have different amounts of qualities manifest in different forms. For instance, Kapila, he is Bhagavan, but what does he manifest? He doesn't lift Govardhan Hill, he doesn't lift up the earth, Bhumandala, he doesn't kill any demons, he doesn't do any of that. He gives teachings. Different forms of the Lord, according to their particular function, they will manifest certain amounts of qualities. Even though they're all one Lord in those particular forms, they do certain pastimes, they exhibit certain amounts of qualities. So some manifest more powers, and others more powers, and more qualities like that. So accordingly, then we classify them, even though they're all one person, ultimately. So that way we get Prabhava forms and Vaibhava forms and Purna forms and Paravasta forms, etc. And of all the forms, then we put Krishna at the top because he manifests all wonderful qualities and all wonderful powers more than any other form. So we distinguish him from the others.
Also, in Bhagavad Gita, many places he says, he indicates that he is supreme. He says, I am supreme. Mm-hmm. It's direct evidence that Lord is himself saying, I am supreme. What more evidence we need? Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, people can take that as just a general indication that the Lord is supreme, that Vishnu or Krishna is supreme. That can also be taken that way. But, of course, we take it also as it's indicating Krishna himself, where he says, Mameva, only me, surrender.
Now, the other avatars have said, Sarvadharman. Mm. Only Krishna, when he comes, even they let them treat Krishna as avatar, but still in Gita he says, I am supreme. So that's what it shows.
You are the Supreme Lord, something like that, through Kapil Deva. He was, Kuntidi was glorifying Kapil Deva, that you are the Supreme Lord, something like that. Yeah, Kapil Deva also. No, no. Devahuti, Devahuti. Devahuti also glorifying Kapil Deva, that you are the Supreme Lord.
Who is? Devahuti.
Devahuti, yeah.
Yeah.
You are the Lord, something like that, glorifying.
Yeah.
So means that Kapil Deva was not saying directly, but someone is glorifying. Third person, like that. Devahuti is glorifying that you are the Lord.
Yeah. Even though he didn't manifest so many qualities, but they wanted the Lord as their son, so they got him as their son ultimately, and so they glorify him. But he didn't manifest all the qualities that we see, or activities that we see with other forms.
Regarding this, Maharaj, about this Brahma, I think in Chaitanya Charitamrita there is an explanation. He said that this Brahma is like a part of, sorry, this Haridas is a part of Brahma and Prahlad Maharaj, something like that.
Yeah, he is partially Amsa Prahlad also.
Yeah.
In the sense that he was punished by demons. So Prahlad was also punished by his father and whatever like that. So in that sense, that portion is like Prahlad.
So what should be the right or direct interpretation of the word Swayam, the meaning of it, the direct meaning of that word Swayam?
Well, it means personally or himself. He is Bhagavan himself. So in that case, of course, all the forms are Bhagavan, because he gives a list with, you know, Kurma and Matsya and Balaram and others, so they're all Bhagavan. So in that case, it means the ultimate form. Huh? What do you say? Yeah? Ultimate form. Because the others, if we say is the Lord himself, that means the others are not Bhagavan actually, but they are. So he is the highest form of Bhagavan, that's all.
Can you understand this is the foundation principle in all our day-to-day devotional life also? Any mistakes is only to realize nothing, you know, no punishment.
Yeah, well, yeah, the of course, the so-called punishment is generally something that is carried out by material nature, karma, or whatever. And Krishna's only purpose actually is to help the jivas advance. So we see, for instance, in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he fell down and became a deer. But that was an opportunity for him to advance, because then his next lifetime, he could remember the previous life, and he could remember the previous life also. And because of that, he got perfection, and he got to prema in that lifetime. So the Lord makes arrangements for devotees to advance in devotional service. So what may look like a punishment is actually, it's just an opportunity for advancement. That's what the Lord does. He gives opportunities for advancement. Well, the Lord doesn't hate anybody. He is actually, even for the demons, who are actually very explicitly, they envy the Lord and hate the Lord and try to kill the Lord. Even then, he doesn't hate them. And he acts for their benefit. And he even gives them liberation. So he has no hatred of anybody, so he's the benefactor of everyone in all cases, even of the demons and the enemies, etc. So that of course is possible for the Supreme Lord because of his great nature.
Maharaj, Nam Sankirtan is everything, but this understanding requires knowledge, and only after going through the scriptures and getting to know from the advanced Vaishnavas, we come to this understanding. So which means the knowledge is more equally or more important to understand that Nama Sankirtan is everything.
Well, it acts. It is so great that it acts even without knowing about it, as in the case of Achamil or whatever. It doesn't give the full effect. Nevertheless, it's very powerful to act. So even chanting accidentally once has so much power. What to speak of intentionally and devotionally or with knowledge chanting, then we get much more result. So the better the consciousness, the purer the consciousness, obviously, the greater result. That will be there for anything, any process. The more knowledge you have, the better result you get.
Maharaj, this is related to Prabhuji made that point. So, like, if I remember correctly, like, apart from Vishnu Tattva, I mean, only Vishnu Tattva, they don't get angry. I mean, we have never seen a pastime where Bhagavan forms, they get angry. So, is it good to...
Well, they can get angry. Narsingham, they've got angry.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. But it's not material anger, because it is part of their... anger is also a rasa. So it's also spiritual. So they don't anger out of hatred,
yes,
as such. But there is an anger in the sense that his devotee is harassed, etc. And so when he kills Hiranyakasipu, he gives him benefit. He doesn't give him, you know, punishment or whatever.
Yes, ma'am. So, like, as you said, in this context also, is it good to understand that, like, I mean, if a devotee is getting angry for the betterment of another devotee, is it good to understand that it is situated in the mode of Shuddha Sattva, pure goodness? I mean, we
situated in?
You know, for example, Lord gets angry for the betterment of the devotees.
Yeah.
So Lord is always in pure goodness. So when a devotee is getting angry for the betterment of another devotee, is it good to understand that that is in the mode of pure goodness? I mean, it's beyond
the... Well, it
would
depend. But of course, we can say that about Nityasiddhas, definitely.
Yes.
They have no problem. Or like Hanuman gets angry. That's not a problem for him. But in the material world, the anger may be mixed with, you know, material motives as well. So we have to be a little careful of that.
Uses different prefixes, like Vyasadeva uses Swayam Bhagavan, here Brahma is using as Arhan. So it entirely depends upon one's realization whom to be considered as the Supreme Worshipable. Different devotees use different prefixes, like Arhan being used here by Brahma, Vyasadeva uses Swayam Bhagavan. So it depends upon the realization of every devotee to consider who is supreme and how it should be mentioned.
Well, according to the realization of the Lord, they will call the Lord by different names. But they don't even realize that the Lord, they think he's a devata, then they would call him a devata or whatever. So, which should be material. So if they are real devotees, and according to the realization, and according to their rasa, they will describe the Lord slightly differently according to that, but there are certain features which are the same, such as he is the creator or he's all-knowledgeable, etc. So those features will never change. But according to his particular relationship with the Lord, he may describe him differently. Yeah? Yeah, he may describe him in terms of Madhurya Rasa instead of Sakya Rasa or whatever.